Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, thanks for joining us. First half of the show, I will dissect Alyssa Milano's podcast. Always fun. We will get in some hot talk with Natasha Leggero about relationships. A little discussion about Beto O'Rourke's apology, all that coming. First, LifeLock. Average U.S. household contains 17 smart devices. Many are vulnerable, allowing attackers to remotely access them. You don't need that. What do I tell you, people? It's 2019. You have to protect yourself. It's like having a car is great. It's a convenience. Now you have car insurance. Well, that's what this is. Internet-connected security cameras account for almost half of the smart devices compromised by hackers. So many threats in today's connected world. It just takes one weak link for criminals to get in and get all your personal information. It's all out there. It's all exposed. And then they're going to commit identity theft. Don't be a victim. LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to protect you against threats you can't easily see or fix on your own. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
Rocket Mortgage. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home is much more than a house. That's why when you find the perfect place for you and your family, getting a mortgage shouldn't be difficult and it shouldn't get in the way. And that's why there's Rocket Mortgage. Their team of mortgage experts, number one goal is to make home buying process a smoother, easier process for you. Quicken Loans help millions of Americans achieve the dream of home ownership. And when you're ready to purchase a home, and it's the home of your dreams, well, then they can help you too. J.D. Power ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 5 years in a row. Not too shabby. Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. Rocket Mortgage. Right, Dawson?
Visit rocketmortgage.com/Adam and take the first step toward the home of your dreams. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Natasha Leggero, with Gina Grad on news, Paul Fry on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, he should go back to where he came from, a converted service porch. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Not to get it on, no choice but to get on your bandage and get it on. What's going on, Gina Grad?
How are you?
Handball, Brian.
I'm working for a prince who puts up with me.
I have an answer to our why would anyone put seats in the bed of a pickup truck and call it a Subaru brat. Somebody tweeted me an answer, a good answer. There's nothing more satisfying than a satisfying answer where you go, oh. Because I was showing you guys a Subaru Brat, a mini pickup truck. It's got a couple of jump seats in it that face the other direction, like Southwest used to have those. So
that's right.
The forward-facing seats are in the cab, and the backward-facing seats are in the back. They're all made out of this like hard rubber vinyl-y, you could hose it off kind of stuff, but you would go, who would do that? Why would you do that? Like, it seems a very novel way to sell a vehicle. Answer, satisfying answer, and one I did know about. We put a big fat tariff. Max Pata, we've talked about this on CarCast,
yeah.
I think. We put a big fat, I think it was like 30% tariff.
25%.
That's weird. I was thinking 25 or 30. Yeah. 25% tariff on pickup trucks, mini pickup trucks coming from Japan.
Okay. Well, is it coming from Germany?
But oh, coming from Germany?
But it affected Japan. Yeah, because we wanted to give it to VW.
Oh, we didn't want the VW pickup, but the I thought we had tariffs on all pickup trucks coming here.
Well, included all like any imported pickup trucks, but it was really just to retaliate with Germany.
All right, but when I say on Japan, Germany.
They're affected. And also?
Well, Japan got affected because of it.
Okay. A second ago, my story was kaput, as they say in German. Now we're back on. This affect any pickup truck coming in here.
Yeah.
Yes. So they realized that that tariff was going to affect them, and they could get around that tariff if they put seats in the back and called it a four-person car.
Were the seats removable so you really could use it as a pickup?
They thought that people would get the car minus the tariff, remove the seats easily with a socket wrench, and send them back to Japan. And then they would put that set of seats in another one and send them over. Wow. It's a way to get around the tariff.
But
it became a hit. And people stop sending the seats back.
You take the seats from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
Right.
And they have two little, like, jump seat joysticks they hold on to.
Yeah. It was a very interesting. It's also one of those. You never really can fully figure out life. Mm-hmm. You know, you go, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get around this by doing this. Who knew that your seats in this vehicle would become a cult hit? Like, how do you even figure out what a cult hit is?
Like the producers, like you're trying to create something that they won't want and it becomes a hit.
Right.
But if I was not in the middle of L.A., I think it would be super fun to ride around this on a fun weekend.
That's funny you mentioned
that. Not forever.
I was thinking, who is this for? Like, the pickup truck aspect doesn't make sense for, like, you know, gardeners and construction workers or whatever. The off-roading aspect feels more dangerous than a Jeep. I don't know who this is for.
Well, that's why it's novelty. It's insane,
exactly.
And it would be fun to try.
Yeah, I usually can answer that when you go, who is this for? If you insert the blacks or the gays, you'll get your answer.
I don't think either.
It doesn't work here.
Not if you in go, this case.
Who? Why would you lease rims for your car? Like, who would? Who? There's versions of that that would work.
Like,
And I found if you either go black or gay, you'll get a lot of answers. Yeah. Subaru brat got no answers.
Not in either camp.
With me being the exception, this is not for the Jews.
That normally works very nicely, but not this time.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Mystery continues.
All right. So, I wonder, you probably pick one up on eBay or bring a trailer or something.
Get
probably
it.
Find
check
one.
Check it out, Chris.
Yeah.
Can we have like an...
I could see you, by the way, Max Zapata, in that Subaru Brat.
In a Brat.
You're the right size. You carry your guitar case and your amps in there.
Was Brat like an acronym for something in German or in Japanese, I mean?
It is an acronym. Let me pull it up.
I can't wait.
Oh, it is?
AT must be all terrain.
It's like Chevy Love, which is like light utility vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a Brat bi-drive recreational all-terrain transporter.
Woo! Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Transporter.
Look, hold on. Let me tell you something about acronyms. You're not allowed to come. You're not allowed to get to the end, and then you go back
and
choose. You break them down.
Yeah.
I don't like that kind of revisionist acronymism.
That's right.
This is
either
not.
Make it work or don't.
Right.
Sport, utility, vehicle.
You know what?
Like HUD, they didn't get to HUD and then go back and go, how do we get to HUD?
Right.
They just came up with Housing
HUD.
Urban Development. They went, or HUD. That's how you know. That's organic.
Big Paul Newman fans.
Mm-hmm.
HUD.
Bye, driver. All right. So I wonder.
If we can find an affordable one, we could probably just do a Adam Carolla show paint job on it and then write it off, right?
We do need a show vehicle.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Like wrapping a minivan.
I almost didn't get to work today because I was inside of my car. Felt unsafe. But here's the thing. Would it be legal to even ride around in a Brat today? Could I take my kids and put them in the back of a Brat and drive around?
If there was a seatbelt, maybe, but I'm going to say probably
they
not.
Could get decapitated.
Yeah, probably not.
I think they had a seatbelt. I don't know if they had a shoulder harness. And
that's
maybe they
point.
Didn't have a seatbelt, but either way. All right, Max, you can continue looking for that. See if we can find a cheap one.
Price it out.
I was listening to Alyssa Milano's podcast.
That is not something I was expecting.
I think... Ooh, let me ask Dawson. I was just yelling at Max Pata for not studying commercials. Dawson does study commercials. I study commercials, and I'm willing to hear almost any commercial and go back and kind of relive the commercial. I am also a person who will happily listen, as I did when I was younger, as an atheist, to Religion on the Line and the Bible Answer Man, because it's just things I don't know. And I don't feel in I don't feel vulnerable, like, oh my God, I could be born again and stop having sex before I'm married, like, or something like that. I just go, I would like to hear words that other people say. And
the Jesus Christ Show on KFI.
Right. And I'm pretty interested in stuff I disagree with as well as stuff I agree with. Now, when it's sort of like, I like car shows on TV, but I do like vintage racing and all that kind of stuff. There really aren't any of those car shows, so I'll just watch any car show in a storm sort of thing. Sure. And I enjoy words. I enjoy thoughts. I enjoy when people have ideas. So I will find myself happily listening to an hour of Alyssa Milano.
Especially when there's not that many podcasts out there.
Just because. And then I want to go listen to something I agree with. Right. But I wonder if that's connected to the watching of the commercial, Gene Dawson. How are you wired?
I'm kind of wired that way because I watch commercials to see who they're, you know, talking to, and it's most of the time not me. So sometimes when you explore alternate points of view via podcast, are you going out there to wonder, prove to me you're crazy kind of thing?
Right, but would you say that that's part of your gene? Which is to say, most people don't stop and examine commercials, and most people...
The vast majority.
Most people, if they're big fans of Stephen Colbert, they don't want to listen to what Ben Shapiro has to say. They tend to listen to Pod Save America or something like that. That's how most people do it.
Sure.
Yeah, we want answers. More information.
We do. You and I do.
You too.
Yeah. Well, it's also better if you're going to argue with somebody as well. Found one for $46K on Bring a Trailer.
Sold
last year.
4,600?
Yeah, that's a mint one, though. Okay. That's 2,500 miles owned by a super exec.
Yeah. Only lost three kids in those 2,600 miles. Wow.
Made it through one bridge.
So I was listening. I was listening to Alyssa Milano, and I also know it's gold. It's got to be gold. Mm. And she had one of those. Spoke to her daughter.
Oh,
I like.
Were one of them weeping?
I like when people. I have gone to my daughter's room and wept. And here's what it sounded like. How many fucking times I got to talk about the fucking ceiling fan? God damn, you're gonna give me a nervous breakdown, bitch. Just shut the fucking ceiling fan. I have gone to my daughter, and I've wept openly in my daughter's room, but not so much about her future.
I tweeted this a couple of days ago, but I had a real moment the other night. We put Tessa to bed, and you know, we trade off. We read books to her and whatever. And for the first time, she picked out one of my old books that was like given to me by the Easter Bunny in like 1983, and it's like The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein.
Yeah.
I was a mess. I was a mess. There were tears streaming.
That
and I
kept entitled, and horrible little kid. Into a horrible adult.
And she kept looking at me like, Daddy, what happened? Like, it's just a sad story, Tess. So she goes, are you sad? I'm like, I'm okay. Let's keep going.
I have nothing else to give so you can sit on me.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, it's devastating.
I hate that kid.
There goes any chance of her thinking her dad's a real man.
Well, what kid is worse now that we're thinking about children's books that were huge international bestsellers? Who's the worst kid? The super entitled kid with high self-esteem who from the Giving Tree, because I guess he just kept using the tree.
Taking and taking
until she had literally nothing left. She was a stump. Well, an old stump is good for sitting. Okay. And then he sits on her and that's it.
Okay. That's self-entitled little Subaru brat.
I memorized it.
Versus the little piece of shit from Where the Monsters Are.
Where the Wild Things Are.
Wild Things Are, sorry.
He's just a brat, and he'll hopefully grow up someday. The other one.
He's precocious.
I don't know. He's a sociopath. He's chasing the cat around with a fork.
It's true. Yep, he's a monster.
That's right.
That book is the worst message any society or adult can send to a young kid. The kid is getting in all kind of mischief, chasing the cat around with a fork and everything else, then basically I don't know, takes some peyote and falls asleep.
He gets sent to his room and he basically imagines this crazy land, right?
Isn't that right?
I think so.
He wakes up back in his land and there's a big piece of chocolate cake waiting for him. What kind of message is that?
Why is he being rewarded?
Yeah. I know. That's a wildly, pardon the pun, overrated book. Mm. Also, there's that part, even when I was like seven and I'm looking at that book, where the monsters are, they're yelling when he's sailing away. They're like, come back, or we'll eat you. I'm like,
How's that work?
That seems weird. Yeah. If you're in a vessel.
Sailing away.
And there was like a bunch of hyenas on an island. And they're like, come back, or we're going to eat you. Mm. Would you go back?
No. Never.
Now, I feel like come back, we have taffy. is a higher percentage call if you want the person to grab and turn around.
Come back. Face the sail the other way.
The one thing we won't do is eat you. We'll do everything but eat you.
Wow. Oh, we just did that with Kimmel?
Yeah, so you and Kimmel, one of your first podcasts is you read the entire book and analyzed it, and we just played on Corolla Classics.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow.
That's crazy. I didn't hear that one. It's a horrible messaged book, right? The kid's horrible. He gets cake. He goes. He hallucinates. Yeah. Anyway. All right. So Alyssa is talking to her daughter about the Equal Rights Amendment.
I do not have equal rights under our Constitution. I have a four-year-old daughter named Bella. She does not have equal rights under our Constitution. If my daughter and I lived in Iceland or Rwanda or Vietnam, we would have equal rights under their constitutions. But we live in the United States of America, where we do not have equal rights under our own. That is because for all of our country's history, it has considered people like us, that is to say, people who are not white men, to be second-class citizens.
I don't know what's going on in Rwanda, but I feel like even if they have something in their constitution, I'd still, I don't know.
Given the
we have
effect.
Daughters.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, we do.
All right. Would you rather raise your daughter in Rwanda?
Okay.
Or...
Wait for it.
Panorama City. No. Rwanda or the United States.
And those are my only two choices?
Those are your only two choices.
Hypothetical.
Hey, hand me a coin. I got to flip it. Of course, the United States. It's ridiculous.
All right. But I agree, if you'd like to like go around the world and cherry pick stuff people have, you can probably easily do that.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what she's speaking of in terms of our Constitution. I'm all for it. I'm just kind of saying, I don't know, stop bumming out your four-year-old and you in the process.
What does she mean? Like, as far as I know, the amendments make everyone equal.
Yeah, is it because it says all men? Is she taking it literally?
I listened to the entire thing and I really still couldn't figure out what. Here's the whole thing, everybody. When I'm going nuts about the traffic in this town, I don't keep yelling somebody should do something. I have specific fixes. Like, I was driving out of here on Friday. Well, here's what I had happen. I had, you know, the ass wipe. We talked about this ass wipe before. I was leaving here on Friday. I go down the street, and the first thing I do is I just hook a right. I get onto the freeway. This piece of human garbage who sits in the right lane when nobody's in the left lane of a two-lane highway, but they're not turning. They've just chosen to sit in that lane.
All things being equal, they chose to block the turn lane.
Yes.
I can't figure out why there's not more information about that. Put that up on the click it or ticket highway sign. Like, people should be coached up. If you're not turning right and there's a chance, there's a choice, slide into the left lane.
Yep. Don't block the right lane.
Yeah, no cars, go to the left.
I did this great move, which is I started to pull in behind him and I was like, what an ass. For the love of Christ, you're not turning right. Really? You're just going to wait out the signal in this lane. It's also the lay of the land around here is the freeway is the right turn, and most folks take that right to get out of here.
Yes.
So there's going to be a lot more traffic going right than there is going straight, but you've chosen to block this. So I did my move. I got into the left lane and was starting to turn from the left lane right in front of him. As I started to move, the signal went green.
Oh.
Then this guy got to go straight and gave me the look like, hey, maniac. And there was another car coming behind him in the right lane turning right.
You just hang out for a hot second.
I'm just saying, my thing is I will complain about something, and then I'll go, here's what we need to do, X, Y, and Z. Here's why we need to do it. I didn't hear a lot of that, but anyway, Rwanda has malaria in it. It's the country's risk of malaria is the primary cause of death. So,
Alyssa, malaria.
If I have young kids, probably not want to go to Rwanda. I'm sorry. Do we get all the way through that clip?
Yeah.
Is Alyssa the modern-day Chris Carolla? Except she's actually weeping for her kids instead of ignoring them.
Well, she's an earner.
She has a lot of money.
That's right.
Makes money. She applies makeup.
Yeah. Okay.
Her podcast is not 60 minutes of her yelling freak out.
Okay.
She interviews people.
You're undoing this theory pretty good.
Yeah,
right.
But my thing is... I literally had a conversation about this last night with Kevin Hinch, which is like, he said, I love that you in front of your kids constantly go like, this is awesome, or screw around with them, or get them in a headlock or whatever. And I'm like, I don't need them to know all of my problems and all the world's problems. They're kids. Let them enjoy.
Yeah.
Let them think we're having a good time here. Do not burden them with thoughts of moving to Rwanda.
There'll be plenty of that for later.
Yeah.
Yes.
They'll have a painful adult life later.
Yes. They'll have all the time in the world to watch shows that have the subheading A Mother's Nightmare. There'll be plenty of time for that when they're older, sitting around bumming themselves out, watching all the shows that have A Mother's Nightmare in the title. For now, let's have them have a good time.
Yeah.
Let them be kids.
And I would argue that while being a woman may have certain restrictions in our society, they are far outweighed by who your mother is. For instance, the Obamas have a couple of daughters. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to have a problem.
No, they'll have more opportunities than most.
They're black. Yeah. They're female. Uh-oh, strike one, strike two. But it's all undone.
They're going to land on their feet.
By all this other stuff. So if Alyssa Milano would like to find random daughters to bum out, go down to Sun Valley or Sunland or Pacoima and bum those people out. I can find you some little brown kids that are growing up without air conditioning and living in a tough neighborhood. Go bum them out, but don't do it from Encino or Beverly Hills or wherever you are with the gate and the security system. Your daughter thinks it's going to be doing pretty good. Now, the notion is I weep for all children. Well, fine. Do it in the fucking entry hall. Like, don't do it in your daughter's room. That's all I'm saying.
Or do a microphone.
Weep silently.
Or don't do it into a microphone. All right. We have, do we have another clip? What was the other clip that I liked?
She explains what keeps her up at night.
Oh this boy. Is from another one on immigration.
Anticipating how great the next day is going
to
be?
waiting for Santa to come down that chimney. Putting the cookies, baking the cookies for Santa. All right. What keeps her up at night? And this is for the immigration episode, which I listen to next.
One of my favorite questions that I am asked and to ask other people, and anytime I meet with a politician, I always ask this question of what keeps you up at night. For me, it's that thought of a child going to sleep and not knowing where their mother is.
Oh, no, but that one kept going, Max Zapata.
I'm sure the whole thing got like 2 hours of that.
Sorry.
Yeah, that they traveled this long, long, long journey, this long way. And I would think would be so, you know, if you're a four-year-old, so excited about this new chapter, about not having to worry walking to school, to even be able to go to school and have a great education, then to get here and to have someone in a uniform rip you away from your parent and to throw you in a jail-like setting, I can't. That's what keeps me up at night.
Wow. That's a miserable existence right there, people. As I understand there's lots of negativity, atrocities, and evil, but at a certain point, you got to crack a beer and put on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But she's also like super famous and like notable. Like, I don't know that she's not, but shouldn't she be lobbying Congress or her congressperson or collecting signatures? Or is there some things better she can do than pontificate into a microphone?
You know, that's what I was literally just thinking that because my thought was, and I don't have the information at all, but I thought at least she's not your run-of-the-mill blowhard. Like she does show up at, you know, testifying before Congress and stuff like that, like to answer your question.
Good.
I think she's a little more active than just going, oh, well, but I don't know exactly what. I just know that she shows up on C-SPAN when people are lobbying.
She does. She gets out there and activates.
Okay.
But again, you have to come up with a solution for the problem instead of taking the problem and just sort of going, these guys in uniforms, like, oh, yes, they're wearing uniforms because they work for a government. That's how it works. Many people wear uniforms.
It's a dress code.
TSA wears uniforms.
Postman wears uniforms.
You have to see to go through their security. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a kind of a thing where it's like, and then they have to go to the airport and they have these guys dressed up like the Gestapo patting them down. You know, you can spin anything as much as you want to spin it. I don't think the 4-year-old's journey, what kind of, I don't think they're full of hope. They're probably full of fear during the entire journey. I can't imagine what that journey would be like for a 4-year-old.
Pretty harrowing.
I would imagine. I walked through parts of Mexico looking for a donkey show.
That was harrowing.
You never shut the fuck up about it.
It was tough. It was a difficult, it scarred a 17-and-a-half-year-old Adam Carolla, and that was just looking for a donkey show. Maybe Alyssa could invite me on to tell that story.
Yeah,
you know, common ground.
Well, I know you think it's all about rich and white, and true, check those boxes, but understand where I come from. I, too, traveled through Mexico looking for a donkey show.
On foot.
Well, my buddy Carl spit on my back.
You were cold. You were scared. Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many street tacos we had to eat in order to have the energy to do that?
Yeah. I can only imagine.
What that must have been like.
At the end of our journey, we were not embraced by a donkey, but instead ended up back at the Unicorn Bar on Revolution Street looking at run-of-the-mill strippers and prostitutes.
How devastating.
So you know hardship.
Obviously, I've been through it.
Yeah. Can we reach out to Alyssa's people?
I've trucked through.
Her booker?
I've covered a lot of ground in Mexico on foot. So I understand their pain firsthand. All right. Speaking of Mexican food...
Were we? Oh, yeah, tacos. Yeah.
Do you guys have, tell me if you guys have this, and what can we do to fix this, which is a general anxiety over the waiter who won't write things down.
Yes.
So here's what.
And you can't suggest it. That's the hugest dick move in the world. You may want to write this down.
Can we fix that? Can we enact something? Like, Sonny and Lynette are out of town on a basketball tournament. They leave for Vegas on Wednesday. I, by the way, am coming home from the Comedy Store at 10 o'clock at night on Saturday night after going on after Sarah Silverman. I only see Dane Cook and Sarah Silverman. Those are the only human beings I see. I was at the Laugh Factory.
The Big Three.
Yeah.
I was at the Laugh Factory Thursday night. I walked off stage, ran into Dane Cook. I went to the Comedy Store Saturday night. Sarah Silverman's on stage when I walked in. It's only those are the only human beings I run into. I like them, so it's fine. But it's weird that it's been distilled down to these two human beings. They either go before me or after me everywhere I go. I was driving home. I asked my son how many games they played. They said that they were doing pretty good in the tournament. They were they'd won the first three, but they'd lost today. Then I said, "How are you doing individually?" And he said, "Okay." And then I said, "How much playing time have you gotten?" And he went, "About a minute."
Oh,
and I said, "Minute?" And he went,
"Why do you think we won?"
"Maybe 45 seconds." And I said, "Talk about today?" And he's like, "No, the whole combined."
Wow. Oof.
All five fouls, Carolla. Get in there. Grab someone.
Oh, did we have to buy plane tickets and hotel rooms for that?
He's got the best of both worlds.
Someone's
got
to rebound during warm-ups.
Yeah, so,
doing layup drills.
So anyway, that was an interesting... And look, I'm not one of those dads that, like, everybody should have equal playing time. No, some kids are better than others.
Yeah,
but
it is obviously.
If this involves an airport and a hotel room, why don't you give them 5 minutes of garbage time a game? But anyway, evidently the games were... Wow. Competitive. Right. So now, my daughter is going to head to Chicago on Saturday morning. So we go out to dinner on Friday night at the local Mexican food place. I have attempted to have this conversation with many a server, and you guys tell me. First things first. My daughter orders some sort of just stupid chicken strips and fries or something.
Classic
and
Mexican.
That's right.
I order.
See?
Yeah.
Classic.
I order enchiladas. Please don't sleep on enchiladas.
Never
I
do.
Like enchiladas a lot.
Who's sleeping on those?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think you should go chicken enchilada or beef enchilada. I just like enchilada because that's what it is to me. It's a cheese dish. I feel the same way about the quesadilla. It's like, you want some cheese? Or you want some beef or chicken or whatever? I go, no. I want quesadillas. Okay. I will order a pork taco or beef taco to supplement it, but I like this. But anyway.
You're saying more with nachos, right?
I like nachos. I'm old school with everything. I don't like when it keep piling on all the sour cream and all the junk in the chicken and everything else. I just feel like I have nothing against chicken. I have nothing against beef or pork. A nacho is a nacho. A quesadilla is a quesadilla. And enchilada is an enchilada. But anyway, so now I got a little more room for tamales. I got a little more lateral.
You're a complicated
anyway,
guy. I know. No one understands you but your woman.
Well, it's not my goddamn waiter. So the first conversation I'm having with him is one that I've tried at that restaurant a few times and it doesn't really work, which is they have tumblers that are shorter. They're about 3 inches off in height. Mm-hmm. That'd be for a scotch or something like that.
Low ball glass.
Then they have the taller ones for the beer, the whatever, the mixed drinks or whatever.
Mojitos or whatever.
Yeah. They have that. And then they have these big, like, fish bowls.
Yeah,
goblets.
The table.
The big fish bowl of the margarita. Now, they make their own margarita mix, but I'm the kind of person that doesn't want to suck up all the margarita mix, like all the sour, for the one shot of tequila. Mm-hmm. So what I tell them in a sort of Vinnie Tortorich kind of way is I go, give me the short glass. Give me the short boy. Give it a double shot of tequila and put the salt on the rim and do the margarita. It's a stiffer margarita that's a little less on the syrup and a little more on the tequila flavor. But if you like tequila flavor, it's got enough of the lemon and lime in it, and it's good.
Okay.
So I try to describe that to the person, but they'll never do it. I go, just bring me the small, just the regular glass, the low boy one, the short one. And then just do double on that, and they can never do it. They can't do it. They don't write anything down. They just can't do it. The bartender won't do it or something. So, and then I order my order, enchiladas, and I always order beans and rice. I love the beans and rice. The guy, and I'm sitting there going, I'm not going to get the drink I want. We'll see what happens. Guy comes by, brings me the tall glass. Now, the glass, I'm holding my hand over the table. I'm just going, just bring this one. Yeah. Just the short boy. Short boy. I took a goddamn picture of it for next time I go because they won't do it. I'm just like, hold on.
Bring me this.
The guy's funny. The guy comes by with the glasses like 9 inches tall. He comes by and he goes, it's not this one, is it? And I go, no, it isn't. And he goes, okay. And he just walks away with it. I go, okay, all right. It's the short one. He then brings me the glass that it is. Well, all right. Then he brings me the enchiladas, but he forgets the rice and beans. And I go, hey, man, I ordered rice and beans. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's right, senor. And he goes, and he comes back, does this one, which I don't like. I have a separate plate for the rice and beans now, so I can't get the enchilada sauce mixed in and everything.
Yeah, and the enchilada, too, is all saucy and cheesy.
To be geschmack.
Yeah. I don't like it. And then I'm like... Just write shit. You just write stuff down. It could get specific. Then at a certain point, my daughter, who ordered a Dr. Pepper, wants a refill. He brings her back a root beer. She explains it's not a root beer. And then he goes, oh, yes, my friend. And then he just goes, get it. But I'm like, this must go on all day. All day, you do this, all fucking day.
Isn't the restaurant pisker throwing out
exactly
half of this and half of that?
It's such a waste of money.
It's an incredible waste of inefficiency.
And also, whatever pride you had in your brain, it would be good if you won Jeopardy, but this is not that. You fucked up my drink. You fucked up my rice and beans. You fucked up my daughter's drink. You fucked up all of... There's two people at this table you fucked up seven times. Just write shit down, would you? And everybody do it? Because I now get a general anxiety. When I'm sitting there and I'm going...
How's this
going
to go sideways?
Just the cheese enchilada. And the person goes, not the chicken enchilada? And I go, oh boy, now
we're
in trouble. Now we're in trouble. You're not writing stuff down, but your mouth is spitting out...
wrong information.
Right. Can we do that? Can we make it a policy? Why can't we achieve this thing?
Should have been instituted many years ago.
You might have to take things literally into your own hands, write down your order, and hand it over.
Can you imagine the confusion that would come out of that?
I took a picture of my margarita.
Am I supposed to eat this paper?
Later, you guys then tell me this. Mm. When's Natasha here yet?
Not yet.
All right. I will tell you another thing where you guys tell me if this doesn't happen to you way more than it should, and what we can do about this, and how, again, the waiter's a 60-year-old dude. I don't know what his plan is. I don't think it's working, but he doesn't write stuff down, and he gets stuff wrong all the time. And let me tell you the first thing. Let me tell you the first thing this guy does. Every single fuck up is minimized. Like, I go, oh, this is a Maxipata. This is a language of losers kind of way. These waiters come by and you go, oh, hey, I didn't get my rice and beans. I go, you want rice and beans? And they turn around and it's like, no, I ordered rice and beans. That's true. I want rice and beans. And it's true. You're getting me rice and beans. But you did not internalize what just happened here. And this guy was literally, he's dropping a drink. I was going, this isn't right, is it? I go, no, it's not. And then he's like, when my daughter's like, hey, I ordered Dr. Pepper. And he never stops and goes, maybe I should write some of this down. Like, I'm getting, I just took care of this one table and I got a bunch of stuff wrong. It's a little embarrassing. Yeah. What should I do? They skate right past it.
It's tough because it happens to us all the time at our favorite little breakfast place. It's the diner. We go there. It's actually a really good place. But It's a weird, you got to pick that spot, because when they bring over all your stuff, and they're bringing it over, sometimes it takes a couple trips, but they bring it over, is it that the time to point out, like, I got a side of bacon, where's the bacon? Like, because it could go one way, which is, it's coming.
Yeah,
right, right.
Very indignant.
Go, oh, the bacon, right.
We should also, I'll tell you what they should do, because this happens a lot. You go to order, you do, my wife orders a side of bacon, they bring everything to the table, but they don't have five hands, so you don't know.
Right, is there another trip coming?
Institute this with the waiter move. When you drop off everything at the table and you're done,
the blackjack dealer. Fly in the sky.
I'll slide you over a $10 chip. Move on, because that will then make me go, hold on, no rice and beans.
Yeah.
But let's get it back.
You signified we're done here.
Yes.
Or you can go super passive aggressive Gina, and when the bacon didn't show up with everything else, go, oh, this looks great. So then just the bacon then, yeah?
Yeah, just say go Gina.
So they when I worked at a restaurant, I was told we had to do that for tables of six or less people.
What?
Because supposedly they thought that people found it impressive when you memorize their order.
I do.
If you get it right.
But
on the rare occasion, it's 100% correct.
If you, let's say I ran a water park and I had a swimming pool and there was like a 3-meter board and I owned it, and I said, the people who come to this water park find it impressive when you do a double half gainer and end it with a can opener. And the person went, okay, and then fell off the end of the board and did a belly flop. I would then, as the owner of the water park, go, let's not.
That's
do yes, it. Yes, it is true when you memorize
right.
it, but
it's not reasonable.
As impressive as it is equally devastating when the father and the dad are sitting there not getting what they want.
It's high risk, low reward. Like, when they come back and they memorize, like, oh, wonderful. But when they miss something,
you did
it's
what
like,
you're supposed to do.
God damn it.
Yeah.
It's also the same relationship people have with their sign. You know, you go, let me guess, you're a Virgo. And they go, that's right, because I ooze it or whatever. Right. And you go, you're not more impressed with that? And they go, no, it's me. I knew I was a Virgo. Yeah, everyone should know I'm a Virgo. Like, it's your table. It's your food. You ordered it. You're not really that impressed.
Yeah, it's a card trick.
Yes.
Yeah. Just bring the food.
It's the worst Magic Castle experience ever.
Right.
Is this your Diet Coke?
My God, that is.
Yeah, there's never anyone who where they're doing the sleight of hand thing where the person is turned looking at, oh, this guy did not screw up our drink order. Yeah. All right. I will tell you, then that's a 60-year-old man. Then I went across the street I went to the next building over. It's in a mall. The next storefront over was the haircutting place to experience the majesty of the 60-year-old woman. Also, if you're 60 and you work as a waiter or you cut hair at a place that ends in the word clips, that's bad. Like, you own your own chain of salons. No problemo. Yeah. If you're just 61-year-old woman who's doing $16 haircuts all day, maybe some of your decisions aren't fantastic.
Sam's.
Maybe there is some room.
It's legend at this point.
Maybe there is some room for some improvement in that game. I'll tell you a very interesting phenomenon, and then first I'll tell you about hymns. If you've heard me talk about hymns, you know guys want to look their best. Best way to prevent your hair loss is by doing something while you still have the hair. Man, it's so much harder to put it back after it's gone. 4hymns.com, one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Licensed physicians and FDA-approved products. No snake oil pills, no gas station countertop supplements. Created by a guy who knows men's health. And it's just easier. The conversations are easier online. No awkward in-person doctor visits or pharmacy lines. And my listeners can get started with Hims complete hair kit for just $5 today while supplies last and subject to a doctor's approval. See website for full details and safety information. That is forhims.com/Adam. If you're thinning out a little, fellas, forhims.com/Adam. Tell me if you guys have had this one. So I have this what is either a great thing if you're smart and secure or a bad thing if you're dumb and insecure, which is I will go into your business and I'll go, why don't you put the table on the other side next to where the magazines are? Then people read the magazines and set them on the table. They don't have to walk across the whatever. Most time people just laugh and go, all right.
Okay, so it's like, oh, yeah, everyone says that.
So I go into my barber shop and the chicks always do this move. Well, the first one was the one who does the corded clipper. It's the back of the neck clipper. They do the clipper on the back of the neck. That one's got the cord on it, and they drag the cord. The cord is 6 foot, but the outlet's kind of off to the side, and they drag it either in front of your neck or behind your neck, and it gets like balled up, and they're fighting with it a little. And then I have this discussion. I go, three storefronts over is a CVS pharmacy. You could get a white 6 foot or 8 foot extension cord, plug it in. It's $7, and then this, and then you'll have plenty of cord.
Didn't you get her one?
I got the other one.
Oh,
one.
Look at you.
He's like Johnny Appleseed.
That's what Santa Claus.
Going from place to place.
Somebody heard me and sent it over. The new chick, the other chick, I said, why don't you get that cord? And they laugh and they go, and I go, no, just go get the cord. And they go, I don't want the big 50 foot orange, whatever. And I go, just get the little white one. It's white,
office.
It's light, it's easy. Huh? And then she says, we have cordless clippers. And she picks up her cordless clipper. And I go, okay. So
Excelsior.
What are we doing
use
here?
That one then. And she goes, this one works better. And in her mind, we've now solved the problem and we're done with the conversation. I have a lot of these goddamn conversations with people where I go, we're right at zero. We're right back at fucking zero.
Right.
I don't know why you're bringing this other thing up that you're not using. I'm not asking if these exist or if those exist. This is not, you know, INS is busted in and they want your documentation and you got to pull out some forged papers. This is just me going, either use the ones that are cordless or they don't work that well. Okay, then get an extension cord for the ones used. We have cordless ones. Oof. It's insane. Right. Boy, is there a lot of that. There is a lot of that, way more than you'd anticipated. Like when you were a kid, you didn't think that was an adult conversation.
A lot of people are stuck thinking there's only A and B as solutions. Like it's either A or it's B. It's like, oh no, there's a C and a D. And if you want to go on and on, there's all sorts of solutions. But I think a lot of people are stuck in that mode.
I thought that was a funny conversation. Rob, 38, from San Ramon.
What How's it going, Eighth Man?
Good, man.
Hey, I just wanted to wonder what you thought about Beto O'Rourke disclosing that he's a descendant of slave owners.
That was a big reveal today.
Yeah, first off, I'm guessing everyone just sort of self-reports now because they're assuming somebody's going to find out.
They don't want the Ben Affleck effect.
That's right. He was dead the whole time.
Yeah, I think that there's no more nobility in anything because you either demand that so-and-so news anchor apologize for what they said, which in which case they're not apologizing. They're just appeasing the people who want to take their job or organize a boycott. So there's like two types of apologies now. There's the preemptive apology, which is I assume somebody's going to find this out since they find this out everything out about everything. And then there's the one where they demand you apology or there's going to be a boycott. Neither one of them is sincere.
I don't understand. This might be controversial or it might be not. Why would we hold that against anyone on any side of the aisle in this day? Like what happened in the early 1800s? Think about how different we are than our own parents. You know what I mean? Now you're talking about several generations back. Like, is this a reflection on Beto?
Yeah. As an example, I used to work for Hugo Boss in New York corporate. Mm-hmm. A lot of Germans there, a lot of German interns, and had a couple of uncomfortable conversations at points because they all are German kids who grew up with their, you know, grandfathers, great grandfathers, whatever. And I had never been faced with that because I was super young. And I thought, is there a part of me that doesn't like this kid who's nice and we go to lunch every day? Yeah. Well, of course there isn't.
Yeah, they have no tangible relationship.
Right.
It's very unfortunate that happened, but you shouldn't hold it against anybody.
My nephews, as you know, because fucking hate everybody.
The Nazis?
Yeah.
Three
brothers. Wish they had a little Aryan youth in them, a little bit. I feel like their attendance would be a little bit better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a dash. You know what I'm saying?
One more step to it.
Well, look, before you think this is out of hand, when you do a flu vaccine or malaria vaccine, it's got a little hint of malaria in it. Just a dash. Just a dash of white supremacy.
So your white blood cells can get
a dash of Hitler youth just to get them to work, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The train's running on time?
Yeah. Okay. That's just but a hint, a dusting
okay.
of white supremacy in Hitler youth. Shut that yitty mouth. Sadly, they don't possess any of that. So I had said, look, my three nephews have a father born in Germany. They're closer to the Holocaust than I am to slavery or my kids are to slavery. Much closer. How should we deal with that? What should they do in terms of reparations or whether it's physical reparations or emotional, whatever? What price do they have to pay? What should we do? And when you do that, you go, they didn't do anything. You know, leave them alone. It seems insane. Of course, somebody heard me saying that on Loveline, then reported to my sister that I called my nephews Nazis.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
I love a father's nightmare, actually.
An uncle's nightmare.
So there's that. I do love that person who has to take this example, turn it into something horrible, and then feed it back to the sister who she can then take that emotionally run.
Oh, good. Another rift.
It's the worst game of telephone ever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm assuming that this exists in every single nation there is because slavery was ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. It is not something that we invented here in the United States. Oh, contraire. We are young. We're kind of the new kids on the block when it comes to slavery because we're new. These other Middle Eastern countries have been engaging in this for hundreds of years, right? Thousands of years before.
Of course.
Before we.
Back to the Egyptians.
Before we got.
I think the pyramids were built.
The Hebrews.
I was listening. It was funny. I'll paraphrase, but Max Pat, I'll find the clip at some point from the immigration Alyssa Milano episode. But her listener was like pro-immigration guy and open borders or whatever. He was like, even back to the Egyptian days or the Roman days, everyone was allowed to travel freely except for slaves. And I was like, yeah, there's limitations when you're a slave. Yeah. Everyone drank Arnold Palmer's.
Transported.
Everyone played that beach game where you have to paddle. <That's>, and that weird hardball.
Paddle ball.
Except the slaves. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you think you're making a point. I would assume that slaves aren't allowed to roam freely. That's part of the deal with slavery.
Typically treated pretty badly.
Yes.
Typically.
So everybody in this country, less so in this country, more so in the entire world, a very large percentage of folks could make a connection to slavery in the past. Also, you could make a connection to not wanting gays to be married or many other issues.
Protesting the segregation of schools.
Yeah, all that. It's pretty easy. If you want to do that math, we can do it here. And by the way, my three nephews can get to the Holocaust faster than my kids can get to slavery. But we can always get there.
Yeah, one way or the other.
All right. Now we have to ask ourselves, what good does it do my kids or my sister's kids or the nation we live in or the people that were slaves or the people who were put in ovens at the Holocaust? How is that then helping them to constantly discuss this? Rob?
Yes.
What do you think?
I just wonder if he was trying to one-up Mitch McConnell, who last week disclosed that his family also had slave owners in his past.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell.
Those two in their armchairs.
If they have slaves now, that's one
that's
thing.
That's another story.
Yeah.
You know, 200 years ago.
Mitch McConnell gave a great answer. Do you know the answer he gave to that slavery?
No.
Mitch McConnell said, turns out me and Barack Obama have something in common.
We have family-owned
slaves, and we're both against reparations. Like, okay.
Mic drop.
That's the Spin Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Rob?
Yes.
I'm against slavery. Let it be known.
Well, can we coach you on that?
Yeah.
Shocking.
I do feel supremely confident that no Corolla owned anything. Mm-hmm. We were apartment dwellers.
Let alone people.
If anything.
That was a big ticket item. Like if you're saying, like, your dad didn't own a car, how are you so sure his dad didn't have a Duesenberg dealership? I'm like,
well,
pretty sure. It's true. My dad could have been a colossal disappointment to his dad, who imported Ferraris into the U.S., but I'm guessing he didn't.
Yeah, the odds are.
My dad's side definitely didn't. Came here from Italy. Everyone's destitute. Everyone died early. Didn't own a car. So they couldn't have owned slaves. My mom's side, she's pretty white, and her family's been here for a while. Okay. So there could have been something on mom's side. I kind of hope there was, because I'd like to present that to my mom. Like, remember that time back in 1974 we're watching Roots and you just kept shaking your head, drinking your postum, going, how could we? Just nibbling on your carob, eating your postum, drinking your postum, and going, how? Do you see what we did? I'm going to go, hey, bitch, go find a mirror.
You should go on those genealogy shows on PBS, like, who do you think you are or whatever. Right. You're the one guy who's like, come on.
Come on, mom. Come on, mama son.
Rooting for slavery.
All right. Let's see. One more. Was there one more call up there? Hey, Eric 21, Coachella, depending on how Bugs Bunny or Mike August says it. Coachella Valley.
Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's up, Baseball Gina?
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey.
What's going on?
I was kind of drunk watching The Hangover Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of run through this head of I wonder how would it go if I were to just say F it and move out to a new country and start all over again? Or how would you tackle that?
Well, you're 20. You want to climb back into someone's uterus, or what's the start all over? Start all over again. You're 21. Sorry.
Because my parents came over here, I was thinking about trying to do the same thing to a different country.
Here's the thing, Eric. You're 20. I assume are you not married, kids, anything like that?
No.
This is the time, man. If you want to do something crazy, like move to another country even for a year or something, or travel, you know, backpack through wherever, this is the time. You got no family, you got no kids, you got the obligations are, I assume, minimal.
Yeah. Chicks dig that, too.
Let's hedge our bets. Go to Canada.
You know,
instead of Quebec and Montreal.
Go to Newfoundland.
All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Natasha Leggero in studio right after this.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for the third month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month's shipment includes a bottle of Vinny's Pure Vitamin Ultra Salt Hangover Cure. Four, count them, four sample bags of Country Archer Jerky, including original turkey, mango habanero, and teriyaki, an Olga Cha-Cha-Cha Blue Apron, and of course, a bottle of your choice. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry. We will sell out. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hi, Adam. Love the show every day. Here is a game called Stump Adam. There was a TV commercial that used the phrase ancient Chinese secret. What was the product? Bye.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
There was Calgon and Calgonite. One of them was Calgon and the other is Calgonite.
How do you get shirts so clean, Mr. Lee?
Ancient Chinese secret.
My husband, some hotshot. Here's his ancient Chinese secret, Calgon.
The guy who listens to our every day doesn't know we played this commercial before.
Also, you put Calgon in your washing machine?
Yeah, I thought this was Calgon Take Me Away.
There was a
you wash yourself, don't you?
Right.
There was Calgonite was the stuff that got rid of the spots, fought off the spot maker in the dishwasher. This you dumped into. Well, it's perfect. Hi, Natasha Leggero.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for that smattering of applause.
We're like doing it today. Like a washing machine used to just be washing.
Right.
Now you have to keep adding the dryer, lint towels, yes, and the fabric softener and the extra this and the extra
static
that.
Sheets.
Because you just need to sell more shit to Rich Whitey who doesn't really need it. And we have to keep adding it on top of the stuff. It's just more Procter & Gamble stuff to sell.
Yep.
Do you do your laundry, Adam?
Hell no.
Come on.
Shit, no. I don't even, like, when people do that, what are you, out of touch? Yes, I am.
Probably.
I bet you don't know how much a head of lettuce costs. $7,000. Am I close? Shut up. Fuck off. I'm rich.
Honestly,
I don't want to waste my time with that shit.
I spent my whole childhood cleaning, and I don't want to ever do it again.
Really?
I hate it. I used to iron. I had to iron my brother's uniforms. I had to make lunches. I had to vacuum. I had to mow the lawn.
I want to hear all about this. I'm fascinated. How do you live now? Are you
now? I pay for someone to do that.
But do you stay very neat?
My husband is a complete mess. Like it's like a he destroys everything in every room that he encounters. You know, like he goes surfing and he needs two different, you know, what are they called for his eyes? So he can't wear his glasses. Contacts. And they're like contact solution and contact like packets thrown all over the bathroom every day, socks everywhere, every cabinet open, like any room he goes into, he opens every drawer, every cabinet. So I follow him around like in a little like flurry and shut everything, and then the maid follows me around and cleans everything. So I do, like, I prep it for her.
Yeah, I'd like to slide in between you and the maid, I think. I want to go before you. Also, the people you live with. It's, like,
yeah.
I have a house that has a nice, it has a nice feature, which is it's a couple of decent-sized downstairs closets. When I bought the house, both of the light bulbs in the closets were burnt out, and they're kind of different. I had to replace, like, fluorescent type or whatever. And the reason is it has a cool thing, which is when you open the door, the lights come on. But if you close the door and you don't close it all the way and you just kind of leave it sort of ajar, the light will just stay on the entire time in the dark closet and burn out.
And completely defeat the purpose.
The conversation I've had with everyone in my house like 700,000 times, which is you just shut it all the way. You push it.
And no
it
one
shut.
Will shut it all the way?
Fuck no, they won't. And I'm like, have you ever thought about it for a second that this now becomes part of my task as a human being to like fall and go, hey, man,
hey, man.
I know you closed it most of the way, but I came home the other day and it's like, or you could just do it and we could get the fuck on with our lives. How
I've
about
stopped
that?
Asking Moshe to do things because then he says I'm nagging. So for me, it's just easier to follow him around because if I mention one thing, he's like, what about you? You're a mess too. You leave your sock. And then we all just like get into a huge fight. He texts me photos throughout the day. Oh, you left a sock on the ground.
It's also a wonderful default setting that people have, which is if you ever say you're late, they go, you were late that one time. We're in Barcelona. We're trying to catch a train and you had the flu.
So
that was 9 years ago. Am I allowed to say any? Am I allowed? Okay. Am I allowed to say anything about this closet? The light's on all day and it's going to burn out and it's wasting kilowatts. Can you do this? Shall I put a note on the door? Whose fault is this? Right. This is my fault for noticing it?
Or we can always move on.
Yes.
Put the post behind us.
I don't think my husband's done a dish in like 6 years.
Oof. Oh. Must be
but
nice.
He would be like, yes, I have. But
remember
the one
time I did a dish?
We're in Barcelona. You were late for the train. I was doing dishes.
You know what my trick is? I don't know if it's a trick, but it's working for me. Is like I notice what he's really great at. Like he's an excellent cook, and I can't cook at all. Mm-hmm. So I'll be like, do you want to cook us something? And then he'll take out every single spice and cut up. You know, it's like it becomes a disaster, but it's amazing.
The podcast, by the way, the Endless Honeymoon podcast, it's available on Apple Podcasts, and you can subscribe and rate and review.
It launched today.
I'm so excited.
I was about to say, I heard about the tour. I didn't hear about the podcast.
No, we take relationship calls and, you know, obviously do our own fighting about our own relationship. And then, so it's been really fun.
Congratulations.
I do realize, like, how sort of chemically different males and females are. My problem, I think, in all relationships is I go, I get it. We're very different. Now, we're out of the house and there's a light that's on in the closet. I get the part where you're from Venus and I'm from Mars, but who's doing the closet? Can we do the closet? Like, we disagree on everything. Let's do the closet though, right?
Common ground.
Like, not so much.
I mean, I hire TaskRabbit to do the light bulbs, to change the light bulbs.
TaskRabbit.
Because I asked him like five times, and then I actually told him that my friend Al Madrigal was going to come over and do it because Al's always driving by our house, and that made him really mad that I was going to have another man come over and fix the light bulb. But I don't mean fix the light; I mean just screw in a new one.
Yeah,
because like,
but TaskRabbit's okay with him.
Yeah, well, I'll give them a list. I'm very good at delegating. Okay. So I'll like start a list in my computer of like five things I need done, and then I'll have the guy there all day and just have them help me.
That's good.
Mm.
And then I don't have to bother my husband.
When yeah. No, I agree. Like, you do get into this stuff where you're like, should I unearth this? Like, turn this soil over? Like, is it worth having another discussion about the closet door, or should we just move on with our lives? But basically,
you want this thing done, but you know it's going to entail.
Right. But I would say it's a two-way street. Like, I would say, if I came home and said to my wife, why haven't you mastered the accordion? She'd go, because I'm busy and I don't want to play the accordion. I'd go, well, that's a fucking slap in the face. I wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? I feel like there are things that fall under the parameter of like basic whatever. Right. You know, you come home and the door's unlocked and you're like, eh, the door was unlocked and everybody was up there.
It's
like
there's,
I think it's not practical to ask them to master the accordion, but there's certain things I think would fall under the heading of that. The light bulb outside of the closet or inside of the closet. I think we can agree that that falls under the heading of a normal ass.
Yeah.
Right?
But I do think some people have an issue.
Yes, they do.
Like Moshe said, when he drops something, his instinct is to run away.
So
he's actually not wired to pick up after himself.
This is good.
Right.
This is gold.
Well, here's what I like to do. Here's a little experiment. You can conduct this with Moshe. Okay? I do this. If I said to anyone in my house, and everyone's guilty of the closet door thing, they go in and out, they shut it kind of enough, but it's a bad design in the sense that it needs to be pushed all the way shut or the light stays on, and you can't see the lights on because you're outside. I've done this with many people many times. Let's say I offered you $10,000 if you could achieve this for a six-month period. Could you pull it off? And they always go, fuck yeah. I go, oh, okay. We've now established
it can be done.
Now it's, we know you can do it. Yep. So now let's pretend like you don't need the $10,000 to do it. Like, I don't know. I'm actually, my daughter would probably tell me to fuck off. She'd probably go give me 15. But what I'm saying is if you offered this challenge of, if you did this, you'd get a free trip to Tahiti or you'd get a free Rolls Royce or something, then they do it, right? Mm. And so if the answer is yes, you couldn't say that to the accordion, but you could say it to the light bulb. Well, if the answer is yes, then they should be doing it. Is that a fair statement?
Why does everyone get to go into this closet? You should just have it be for your personal stuff.
Well, there are things in the closets are in the middle of the house, and people just kind of use them for backpacks and shoes or whatever, a vacuum cleaner, whatever you'd put in a closet.
It's a vacuum cleaner.
And my thing is, I shall now do a laminate sign on the outside of the whatever. Oh, I have to do that everywhere. But what I'm saying is, or we could live in a world where you just don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Feels accomplishable.
Never spoken again.
Right. Now, everyone in my house does it. It's not just my wife. I have a nanny who does it as well. But I'm saying, like, can you achieve this? And then why are the two options? The two options are you don't do it or we get into a huge argument. Why isn't there a third space where you do it and we get on with our lives? Like, what is that? Why is that a bridge too far? Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I know. I mean, honestly, I just have resigned myself.
Right, but
because I'm lucky because I have money enough to pay someone to do the gardening and pay someone on TaskRabbit to like do small tasks and
light bulbs.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah. No, I again, they're asks that are sort of, whoa, that's way out of the bounds of what would be an ask. And then they're basic asks. And I think the general consensus should be, when you enter a relationship, if something falls under the heading of basic, whatever direction, he said, she said, you are obliged to do that.
But that doesn't happen.
I know.
I subscribe to the French way of thinking, which is like the woman just has to treat the man like they're mentally challenged.
Oh, really?
Not like they're kings.
A mentally challenged king.
That's a French way of doing
it.
I don't know. It's just like I'm not going to ask my husband to be an equal partner all the time, especially like as a mother. Like I feel like there's so many things that I can do better.
I was about to ask how it breaks down with the kid.
Right. It's like he can, I don't know. I don't want to like count on him for exactly 50%.
But what if he goes the French way and takes a mistress? You know what I mean? Like he goes full circle.
He already has like
way.
Seven. He goes to like kickboxing four times a week. He goes to surfing 3 days a week. He like plays board games with his friends five nights. I mean, he's, you know.
Oh, really?
He's got a lot of stuff he's doing.
How old is Moshe?
He just turned 40.
There's something, there is a danger. I've been examining this a little, which is, at a certain point, we need women. You know, my number one question is when the guys, the young men are fucking up constantly, mm. I always go, what are their wives doing about this? Because at a certain point, you need a dude to go hunt, not fuck around. Yeah. And we're living in this weird fuck around space now where like everyone is just, hey, he's into video games. He's going down to Comic-Con. He's big. He's pumped for the Avengers series. It's like, he's a 40-year-old dude. He's not supposed to be doing that.
That's a good point. I mean, that's why you have to like the cooking. Like, he's really fun. Like, just trying to really emphasize the things that he's great at, I guess.
Focus on those.
Like you would, like, at a special school for people who are mentally challenged. Sorry.
Well, also at the special school, I guess you'd have to put those signs up everywhere.
Yeah, live stuff.
By the way, I'm not saying this is the right thing to do. This is just what I've like realized. I don't want to be a nag.
Right.
How many times can I ask him to not like just put his contacts like all over the entire bathroom? The two different packs for each eye has a different prescription. You know what I mean? Like,
you got to get on with your life too.
And I can clean it in 2 seconds. So. By the way, that's not the answer.
I think it's a form of blackmail, though, in a weird way, which is I'm not going to do this thing that would be conscientious and you would ask of a roommate who you barely knew, like, hey, could you not leave your crap? So I'm not going to do this. And if you bug me, I'm going to then squeal like a stuck pig. So now you're blackmailed essentially into taking care of something that they should take care of, but they've realized they don't have to.
But a roommate doesn't, like, fuck you really good and cook for you and, like, entertain your baby.
Almost never.
That's rarely. That's a special Craigslist ad.
Task rabbit.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a good sign, which is, like, he's out surfing and doing this physical stuff, and then he looks better in his underpants.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take that.
Not around for bath time, but, you know. I can bathe alone. No, my child's bath time.
So if you want to ask those questions, you can check out the Endless Honeymoon podcast. And very interested in checking that out. All right, let's see. I got a spot here. We've got, what do we got, news coming up?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge, made with fluid titanium, transforms under pressure. Keep the metal from rubbing. Three times,
fool!
Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. Edge formula always exceeds the toughest industry standards. And there's a new and improved formula, so check it out. Castrol Edge. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Natasha and Gina and the news right after this.